Peter preached that first gospel sermon, and 3,000 were baptized. Verse 47 of chapter 2, we read that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And the Lord did not add to a church daily. He didn't add to some church daily or to any church daily. The verse reads, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And in Matthew 16, Peter had made that great confession that Jesus was the Son of God. In verse 18, Jesus said that upon this rock, that rock being confession that Jesus was the Christ, I will build my church. My church, not my churches. So what accounts for the thousands of different denominations that we have out in the world today? A denomination is just another word for a division. You know, even with these divisions, or within these divisions, there are divisions. You know, many of the denominations today are deeply divided, and they're struggling over their core values. One of which is the acceptance of homosexuality or homosexual individuals into the assembly. How can they even entertain this idea of that acceptance when we read in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22, it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind, shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. And then in Romans 1, 26 and 27, we read that God gave them up to their vile affections, man to man and woman to woman. So what's the root cause of all this division? One reason is that men seek to please themselves. That's one reason for the division. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, we read there, this is Paul, of course, speaking, says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you other than what we have preached, let it be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you received, let it be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So Paul's telling these Galatian Christians that there's but one gospel. It doesn't matter who you hear, who you listen to, if they preach something different, then it's not the true gospel. If Paul went on to say that whoever preaches something different, they're to be accursed.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's but one God, one gospel. If people decide to follow men rather than follow God, then there's certainly going to be division. Another reason for division is because men love to hear things that please them. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. So men are going to search out and find those that teach what they want to talk, what they want to hear. And Paul said they're going to do, they heap up these teachers, and they turn away from the truth. And when this happens, the religion becomes a useless religion. And without a love for the truth, men are going to accept false doctrine. They're going to divide. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, we read there, and the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, Paul says these that are deceived and perish, they perish because they do not have a love for the truth. They could have been saved had they loved the truth. And yet there are those that intentionally cause division for their own gain. Again, Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, he said that many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetous they will exploit you with deceptive words. He said, for a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction doesn't slumber. So these that cause the division, you know, they've planned it for a long time. It just wasn't something that happened. They've been planning the division. Peter said their destruction did not sleep. They're always sowing this division for their own gain. You know, we all remember in Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer. He had offered money to the apostles that they'd lay hands on. Now, Simon had previously practiced sorcery. Apparently, he'd been pretty good, because he'd done it for a long time, and he was well known by many people in the city of Samaria. A lot of folks had been fooled by Simon. The Bible says from the least to the greatest. So much so that many of them had declared that he was a power of God. And after he saw what the apostles were doing, he saw another opportunity to make money. Verse 20 of that chapter, Paul told him, he said, your money perished with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. So Peter told Simon, you know, your heart's not right. Your heart is not with God. It's not right in the sight of God. His heart is set on earthly gain. And you know, those that cause division, they become slaves of really unto themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Paul told the Romans in Romans 16 that these dividers, they serve their own bellies with smooth words and flattering speech. These smooth words and flattering speech fill the bellies of these and the pockets of those that cause the division. But Christ didn't accept division. And of course, neither should we. We should not accept division. Jesus died to build his church, the one church. That's Matthew 16 and verse 18. And Paul, he often emphasized, you know, the one church. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. Paul writes there, he says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But Paul stresses to the Ephesians, there's only one church. So what does this tell us as Christians today? It tells us there's but one way. But I think it also tells us that there are those in the world today, they're doing everything they can to serve their own purpose. These things that are wrong. And you know, they teach these things and say there's nothing wrong with different theologies. And I think one of the verses they like to use to justify their denomination is John 10 and verse 16. And there Jesus is speaking, and he says there, it says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring in, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Is he talking about the denominations? I don't think so. This verse, you know, is not a justification for denominations. and say that, just take it totally out of context. He's talking about the Gentiles being of another flock. Paul directly commanded, you know, he said there is to be no division. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1. So how can we prevent division? Of course, there's always going to be denominations that are going to divide. But how can we prevent, you know, division? Well, we can prevent division by having the same mind or the same goals and the same judgments. The mind and judgment is directed, of course, from God's Word. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What mind was that? Well, it was being like-minded, being of one accord, sharing the same love together, looking out not just for yourself, but for others as well. Of course, we also can prevent division by contending for or standing in defense of the faith. Jude verse 3. And we don't do that just on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. We've got to do it every day.
Amen.
So the Hebrew writer in chapter 3, verse 13, wrote, he says, "But exhort one another daily," right? What it's called today, "lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So we're supposed to do this daily. If we don't do this daily, you know, sin's going to harden our hearts to the point that we don't give exhortation. We don't really care whether we get exhortation or not. So, yeah, denomination is just another word for division, or division is another word for denomination. We know, like I said, there's thousands of different denominations out there. But there ought to be, how many? There ought to be none. And even the Lord's church can become a denomination unto itself if it allows teaching to creep in that's not scriptural. That's something that the church really seriously needs to consider whenever an idea or something comes up that they're going to introduce into the worship service. Probably some of the worst advice that's given by these so-called evangelists of today is go and attend the church of your choice. We hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
By doing this, it's self-serving. If we go to find an organization that meets our needs, you know, it's not a church, it's just a club, basically. But, you know, people are lulled into this every day. You know, the only way they can find out what the true church is to go to the Word of God. And who's going to teach them? Well, we know these denomination churches are not going to teach them. I think we can find the answer in Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. And it reads there. It says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." So it's a responsibility of the church, or the Lord's church, to preach the gospel. You know, those that are in need of teaching are not necessarily going to come to us. You know, we're going to have to go and seek them out. You know, we just finished, or we're in the process of a personal study, you know, on a Monday night class. You know, Christ didn't say, when they come to you, teach them. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But, you know, if we're going to help others and lead others, we ourselves must be taught. And we must be taught the truth, and we must be added to the church. I guess the question for us tonight is, are you a member of the church, Lord's church? You know, if not, why not? And what are the steps? Well, we know we must hear the word, we must believe, we must repent, we've got to confess Christ as the Son of God, and then be baptized. you haven't done these things, or if there's any other reason that you need to repent, why not do so?